The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick 6 Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. If you're watching on YouTube, it is still Monday, December 13th, youtube.com/Pick 6. Come join us. We recap every Monday, Thursday, and Sunday night football. And sometimes we do dumb stuff before we actually start recapping it live on video, which surely will never, ever backfire on us. We also do a 1 o'clock pick show on Thursday. Myself, Pete Briscoe, and RJ White, and Ryan Wilson host a live mock draft show every Tuesday at 1 p.m. on our YouTube show. So hit the like button, subscribe, and hang out. And if you're listening on the podcast, of course, which we appreciate, it is Tuesday, December 14th, more than likely. Oh boy. Is it the Los Angeles Rams showing up? 30-23 over the Cardinals, despite missing Jalen Ramsey and Tyler Higbee. Future Hall of Famer Matthew Stafford gets it done. Incredible game. 23 of 30, 287, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Cooper Kupp had a monster game. 13 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. Odell Beckham, also great. 6 catches, 77 yards, and a touch. James Conner continues to be a monster, and AJ Green, this is basically an old person game, so it makes sense to bring in two other old people, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up?
Breach is younger than you are.
Yeah, we're all old.
But I'm also the AJ Green correspondent, so in that sense, it makes sense to bring me on.
Gotcha. Right,
like Wilson is the
James Conner, former Steeler, former Bengals.
I'm the Stafford. Here we are. I'm the Stafford. Wilson's the Conner, and you're the AJ Green.
You're the Perfect. Stafford. You're the what? Blake Bortles.
A podcast host.
And he's not even on the Rams anymore.
I'm the Stafford guy here, man.
I will say this, and then you can take over. Cooper Kupp is now fourth on my MVP ballot, which I just turned into Jared Dubin, who puts this out every Wednesday, I believe. He's going to win the Triple Crown, it looks like, or he's well on his way to doing that. I don't even know who's in second in any of those categories, to be honest with you. And he is unstoppable. He is Wes Welker, like, on 25.
He's tall, Wes Welker.
I didn't realize he was so tall until I saw him standing next to Matthew Stafford at the end of the game. Yeah. But he is, I don't want to slight Wes Welker because he was awesome, but I think he's a lot better than Wes Welker in his prime. And that's no slight to Welker. That's how good Cooper Kupp is in my mind.
Well, that's a different,
you don't have to get hung up on that. That's just my thought.
Yeah, no, Wes Welker had stats that were equivalent to Calvin Johnson in his prime, which is insane.
I know.
But I gotcha. Cooper Kupp is, his route running is unbelievable. He physically is not encumbered by being a 5'7" short person who can't get down and catch the ball. He's going to get that triple count you're talking about. I mean, he's having a unbelievable season.
So he has 18 more catches. No, 28 more catches. Is that right? Golly, 28 more catches than Justin Jefferson. Think about that. Yeah. Chris Godwin second in receptions.
Sort by touchdowns.
Ooh, Mike Evans ain't messing around.
I mean, yeah, like he's a triple crown receiving is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
To have the most catches, most yards, and most touchdowns by any wide receiver in the NFL in the same season is a monster, monster year.
I would like everyone to know that we turned our MVP ballot in last week. I was the only one who had Cooper Kupp on it.
Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I was too busy trying to get TJ Watt to win the thing. I forgot about Cooper Kupp. That's on me.
And the thing is, like, he keeps catching passes. You think at some point, you know, after 5-7 catches, that the defenses start triple teaming him or something to keep him from catching the ball. And it just doesn't happen. And it just keeps making big play after big play. I mean, a lot
he should have had another touchdown. That he had a sick fake that you saw Sean McVay on the sideline was like dying upset that it didn't hit. He cut inside and went back outside. The guy's just dead on the, like, it, he was wide open, and Stafford just put a little too much air on it.
And there's also one where Stafford, I think, got sacked and maybe could have gotten the ball off the cup. He got hit too early. So Cup's getting a lot of these short intermediate throws. And then Stafford had that dagger in the fourth quarter that went for, I think, 44 yards to Cooper Cup. And it, so it was just, it's all over the place. They're dangerous from anywhere on the field. And it's amazing that someone with 100 and whatever catches, 113 catches, can be productive week after week, because the defense is, you got to start focusing. It's like they don't take him seriously. It's like, you know, it's Cooper Kupp. He's not going to do it again.
I don't even know it's that. I think he might be that good, because that's the same thing that happens with Devontae Adams. Like, no one can guard Devontae Adams. Everyone knows he's the only person that he's going to throw the ball to, Aaron Rodgers. And he is consistently open by what feels like 3 or 4 yards in terms of separation. And the most humiliating thing about that 44-yard catch, which is against Byron Murphy, a great catch. And usually, you get up and you pose and you do the first down sign and then moonwalk back to the huddle. He helped Byron Murphy up, which is like that should be taunting, by the way. That's a taunting foul.
It should be. He's like, I'm sorry for torturing you again.
That's how you do it.
I mean, his footwork is insane. His route running is insane. His, like, the 4 yard, I think it was a 4 yard touchdown catch where Stafford throws it on this sidearm angle and it's going in low. You're like, well, this is just clearly going to be incomplete. And there's the both refs are like, it's a touchdown. You're like, what? How? Like, I mean, I guess Cooper Kupp caught that and he somehow got underneath it. He is just a very technically sound wide receiver who happens to have developed athletically to the point where he is just killing anyone who wants to try to stop him. And the development, like, or not the development, but the presence of Odell Beckham in this offense. And I know people don't like OBJ, but he's playing well for the Rams right now. Like, that's a problem. This offense,
he played well today for the Rams. Like, that was his first really sort of
and that 4 yard touchdown catch you were mentioning, that might have been Matthew Stafford's best throw of the night. I mean, what's the circumference of a football? Like, 25, 30 inches. That was the window. There was literally a 25 inch window, and he just had to zing it in there. There's no way he should remember to do that.
And played awesome tonight.
Yes.
By the way, we talked about this before, but just a reminder, Cooper Kupp ran a 4.62 at the combine. So
he's faster, not faster than Brinson?
He's not faster than Brinson, no.
He's faster than me.
That's the takeaway.
That was a 4.96, remember?
49.6.
Cooper Kupp still faster than me. I mean, the Cardinals go down in the first quarter, kick a field goal, and then it was still in the first quarter when they go down on a 12-play, 58-yard drive.
Down to the Rams' 4-yard line.
The 4-yard line, and Kyler throws a – and that interception was on the heels of their first drive where Kyler had a couple – open looks and was just sort of off for whatever reason. And then he throws this horrific interception.
No, it got tipped. Aaron Donald got his hand on it. That's the only reason it intercepted.
Well, he had one-on-one coverage with two dudes on the left side and went to the right side and didn't even look.
Well, that's another conversation, but it wasn't, the Aaron Donald made a great play.
Oh, I thought it was just a straight bad pass.
No, it got tipped.
Okay. Go back and look at it. We'll see. I believe you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But you're right. He didn't play
good. The interception, like, he had Hopkins. They were doing an in out route, like an in out concept thing where Hopkins is cutting in. I think it was Christian Kirk is cutting out. He's probably going to have one of those guys open in single coverage, and he should have gone that way. Instead, came out quick. I didn't see Donald get his hand on it, but, you know, whatever. And that changed everything because the Cardinals go up 10-0 if that happens. And I think that probably puts the Rams on tilt and they don't get in their groove that happens.
And on the first drive, as you mentioned, he missed AJ Green, which would have been an easy touchdown. AJ Green was wide ass open, but I'm just going to blame AJ Green because he dropped the ball early in the season or didn't turn around for the ball early in the season. Breach.
You know, what's funny is that was the last time that Kyler Murray threw an interception inside the 5-yard line. Only two in his career. And both of them were in the past 6 weeks. So one definitely AJ Green's fault. This one, Kyler's fault for being so short.
I will say this is clearly the worst game of Kyler's season. He still gave them a chance to win. Like the things he's able to do. Like the first interception wasn't his fault. The second interception, that I can't. What happened exactly? I feel like that was his fault when I was watching at the time.
I mean, we don't know. I mean, the first interception, if your throw's too low and it gets batted, that's kind of your fault. That's partly your fault.
But it wasn't like he threw it right to.
You can't absolve him of blame.
He didn't throw it right to Ernest Jones. Is my point.
5'8"
Well, right, but.
And by the way, Manute Bol over there, take it easy on guys who are 5'10"
I am saying, as a short guy, I know how short guys think, and that's, you got to take some blame there.
And what was the other interception? I can't remember what happened. I feel like it was his fault. That one was his fault. Do you guys remember what it was?
That was on their first drive of the second half.
Oh, that's right.
The Rams just scored to go up 20-13, and it was early.
Oh, the Rams with that deep shot of Van Jefferson.
And Leonard Floyd picked it off. I think it was.
That was a bad throw. That's right. That's not. He had
another one that should have been picked off on the.
That was at the end of the game,
but wasn't.
Yeah, one of the they said this on ESPN. I think 5 of his 9 interceptions have come on the first drive of the second half. That is the opposite of taking advantage of.
The Rams score because that set the Rams up at Arizona's 19-yard line. Rams quickly score, and now a 13-13. Halftime score is 27-13 after 5 minutes of the third quarter and ball game.
It was 14-0 in like 3 minutes. I mean, it was crazy.
Despite all that, though, like every other game this week, the Cardinals had a chance to tie it up.
Should okay on the fourth down. I thought Cliff should have kicked the field goal, 4th and 1.
Yeah, I don't know what the Ben Baldwin box said.
The math says he should have gone.
Okay,
I found myself.
I don't hate the kicking. I saw you tweet about that with because
I had a bigger so Greasy was getting crushed on Twitter, which maybe we should have gone on and defended him. Go on Twitter. He got crushed for suggesting a field goal.
I like Greasy's idea.
No. I like that one because there was still over 5 minutes left in the game. A 4th and 1
You have 2 timeouts, not 3.
You have a better shot of converting 4th and 1 than a 56-yard field goal. I understand Prater is a great long distance kicker. It's like that. Like, trust me, I understand that. But I think 4th and 1 makes sense there. But the other part was on their second drive where they eventually did kick a field goal with 37 seconds left. Like, kick that field goal with 1:30 left. Yes. Don't wait for, because you have to get 2 scores. So there's no reason to burn time off the clock.
They had the third down and they even, Kyler took a sack. On third down, I think, then they kicked.
Right, and the clock kept running.
And he threw an incompletion on second down, so it was third down. Clock stopped. Get your kicker out. And I guess that's my thing, is like Kingsbury, he's gotten better, but he hasn't gotten good at it. You got to get your kicker out there on third down. Kick it.
Well, so the Cardinals had a 3rd and 10, and Murray hit DeAndre Hopkins. They got a 1st down. So now they have 1st and 10 with 1:19 left. And they had moved the ball down the field so quickly that McVay's like, all right, we're taking the timeout here. We need to like calm the defense down. We need to reset. And that's when Cliff Kingsbury should have said, whoa, he just did me a favor. I should kick a field goal now. There's 1:13 left. The clock is stopped and we're at the 28-yard line. Right. So then we kick the field goal. And now if you recover the onside kick, you have more than 1 minute to work with and you're not playing dumb football like they were. And those final 2 plays.
Yeah, the final play, it felt like they completed a ball in the middle of the field. They ran up to what looked like spike it, and Kyler Murray said,
"How do you not spike it?"
He did the old fake spike and didn't tell anyone else was going to happen, and then he got sacked for the 50-yard loss to end the game.
I don't understand. I mean, Kyler Murray, how do you not spike that?
Five seconds.
I mean, the Cardinals are awesome, and they feel like the. What year was it? Maybe the 2012 Falcons Texans. It was the year the Texans wore the Letterman jackets to the England on Monday night. The Cardinals are like
they played like a high school team that night.
Do you trust the Cardinals in the playoffs?
Here's the thing. No. Wait till you hear this though. Here's the great news. And Breach has been talking about this forever. They're undefeated on the road. They're no longer the first seed. Problem solved. Just go on the road. Keep losing until you get down to the 5th seed.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they win the division, they're still getting a home game.
That's a strategy.
Get to the 5th seed. Next stop, Super Bowl.
All right, let's take a break. And then we'll come back. And we'll discuss if your future Super Bowl champions are the Los Angeles Rams. Next.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus. Official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
So, the Rams. The Cardinals are fine.
Are they?
They are fine in the sense that they are now, what, 10-3?
They're fine in the sense they're going to get to the playoffs. They're going to get to the playoffs.
They're fine. Okay, Breach, let me ask you this. How did the Packers play last night?
Well, they won 45-30.
That's not what I asked you.
Points.
That's not what I asked you. How did they play?
They played fine, except on special teams
and defense. But other than that, they were lights out.
All right, let me ask you this instead. You are on sort of like a reverse Who Wants to Be a Millionaire thing. You got to pick teams,
like the draft we had.
Basically, but like it's not we're drafting the Super Bowl. It's. Who's gonna if this team loses in the first round?
It's loser league.
It's Squid Games. It's Squid Games.
You get shot in the leg.
Correct. It's Squid Games. Where do the Cardinals rank for you on NFC Squid Games?
Are we just counting the 7 teams that are currently in the playoffs?
No, any teams.
Any? What do you mean any teams?
You can pick any team in the NFC. Detroit, if you want.
Like if you trust Eagles or the Seahawks playing tomorrow more than the Cardinals, correct. Then you take them.
So. Where do the Cardinals rank for you on NFC Squid Games? Because they are 6 for me.
I was going to say, I think 6.
And only because Mike McCarthy's coaching Dallas. They feel a little bit like the Steelers last year, where you're like, we're maybe not giving them enough credit.
And what I don't understand. What does 6 mean? 6 out of 16?
No. Out of the NFC teams, Brinson's saying the Cardinals are the 6th team, the team he trusts the 6th most.
My life is on the line. I want Tom Brady in Tampa Bay 1, Green Bay 2. You're going that way. I think I want the Rams 3, the 49ers 4.
No.
Dallas 5, then Arizona 6. That's my list.
No, they're 3 for me. You guys are overselling this.
You're risking your life unnecessarily on.
Every week things change. I mean, this Rams team almost lost to the Lions for 35-40 minutes. They played terribly in that game. And they haven't had they haven't been consistent for most of the season. I think the Cardinals have they overplayed expectations for sure, but I feel pretty good if Kyler's healthy. And Cliff Kingsbury made some boneheaded decisions, but in the world of boneheaded decisions by head coaches, I don't even think he's in the top 10 in terms of numb nuttery, you know what I'm saying?
I like the Cardinals. I'm just saying I don't know if I trust them.
But again, like Kyler gives you a chance. The Dallas offense suddenly sucks.
Wilson,
true.
You're gonna be relying on Michael Parsons.
I don't trust Dallas at all.
The Cardinals and Cowboys play each other in 3 weeks. Who would you pick to win that game right now?
The Cardinals.
The Cardinals and Colts play each other in 2 weeks. Who would you pick to win that game right now?
Where's that game?
Give me the Colts.
Arizona.
I lean Colts. The Colts are playing well.
If the season ended today, wouldn't it be San Francisco at Arizona
for the playoffs?
Yeah.
In a wild card matchup.
Mm-hmm.
So, who are you taking? Because I know
Arizona.
Oh please,
what?
Give me the 49ers.
Okay, that's fine. But I mean,
you can run on San Francisco, throw all over them.
I mean, the Cardinals did sweep the 49ers.
I know. You're acting like it's a layup.
Handily.
I will happily. San Francisco will be +3.
Give me one second. Let me check your against the spread record real quick, and then we'll
continue. That's fine.
Oh,
No, I don't know why. Yeah. Especially after the way the Packers played last night. I love the Packers. I wasn't concerned about the Packers last night. I think they'll figure out the special teams and the few defensive laps they had. The Cardinals have bigger concerns for sure. But like I said, Kyler Murray played his worst game of the year, and he was still had the minute at the very end. The first interception, I mean, Breach was a little more upset with it than I was. The second interception was wholly his fault, and he missed a couple throws, and that happens sometimes. But I mean, let me put you this way.
Good football team. But let me put you this way. It feels like they're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Maybe rank your quarterbacks in the NFC.
A whole different ball game.
Well, that's why I asked the question. Why would I ask the same question?
One, Tom Brady. Two, Aaron Rodgers. Three, Dak Prescott. Four, Matthew Stafford. Five, Kyler Murray, I believe.
I thought he was going to say Kirk Cousins next.
Nah. Six, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Are you really ranking your NFC quarterbacks and you don't have Russell Wilson in your top six?
Oh, I forgot Russell. Sorry.
Yeah, clearly. Man.
I can't wait to cut that one on the pod, put it out there.
Jump that ship right quick.
I'm sorry, there's about playoff teams.
Well, I was.
He just said, he said NFC teams.
I'm fine with playoff
teams. Jared Goff, five.
Breach, go ahead. I was thinking about the playoff matchups, but fair enough.
I probably do. Tom Brady's completely. Aaron Rodgers got a toe issue, so I'll take Brady and then Rodgers. I don't even know who's next because Dak hasn't looked good the last few weeks.
Kyler is next.
Stafford has not. It didn't look good early in the season, but he's looked good the last 2 weeks. And yeah, Kyler's next.
If you're taking
Aaron Rodgers
season and you're taking Kyler over Stafford.
Okay, but if you're taking just your tonight, Squid Game scenario. You have to take Kyler Murray or Matthew Stafford to win you a game tomorrow.
I'm taking Kyler Murray.
I will take Stafford.
Or if that guy loses it for you, you have to cut off one of your fingers.
I will happily take Stafford.
Yeah, but you've been riding Stafford since he got to LA, so that's not a surprise.
That's fine.
So you're going to be at his Hall of Fame induction with nine fingers, is what you're saying.
He ain't going to the Hall of Fame, Prince. He's got nine fingers.
If he makes the Hall of Fame, hopefully I'm not losing a finger.
And by the way, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady in this little...
But he's got his toe issue, so that's a little worrisome.
But he doesn't, like, how do we know that's even real? He could have made it up just to...
He showed his toe to everyone on the Zoom call.
That was COVID toe. That was something else.
Is it real?
You think he's making up his toe? It's happening.
Be the fine line between the immunization and vaccination.
I thought Steve Young on the Monday Night Football Countdown did a great breakdown of Kyler as a mobile quarterback who does not want to leave the pocket and is throwing the ball really well. And Kyler had a bad night tonight, but he's not going to win the MVP because Brady's going to win it, but he's in the top five.
They win the division. It'll be a conversation.
He missed three games. He went 2-1 with Komoko. He can't win it. I don't think. Kyler's awesome. Kyler is great. I'm not trying to downgrade Kyler. I just don't know if I trust Kyler and Cliff in the playoffs.
Well, that's a different story. Fair enough. I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, Cliff's trying to make him some.
Kyler was 9-1 before tonight, and Tom Brady was. Tom Brady -180 might be a pretty good bet. They have the Panthers twice left.
No way. Aaron Rodgers +600. I mean, that's.
I just think Tom Brady's just going to win the award. It's a layup. He's 44. Do you know who the oldest
Andrew Whitworth
human alive to win an MVP in any sport in America is? In their age,
not 44, like 37.
No, it's Tom Brady, and he was 40.
Oh, yeah, he was 40.
That's right. I forgot he's going to win it again. I think Tom Brady -180 is a good bet.
Okay.
I think Tom Brady's just winning the award.
Yeah, I get that. I think
you agree, right?
I mean,
no, I don't agree.
The easiest remaining schedule. You get to play the Jets, the Panthers twice, and the Saints.
Right. And they're going to throw the ball a ton to try and get Tom Brady the award because they're not dealing with Belichick. They're dealing with Bruce Arians, who's like, F yeah, let's throw the ball deep and win the award.
If the Packers win the conference and Aaron Rodgers continues to play like he's playing with not a lot around him, I think he's going to get serious consideration.
Well, yeah, he'll get, of course.
Okay, well, you're acting like they're currently the number one seed.
Right, but the Bucs have the Panthers twice and the Jets once, right, Breach?
But, Brinson, as you said last night, when you asked me who I thought was going to win the number one seed, you picked the Packers.
Oh, my God.
I picked the Buccaneers.
No, you picked the Packers. I picked the Buccaneers.
You talked me into the Packers.
No. I picked the Buccaneers and you picked the Packers.
Because, oh, no, you talked me into the Buccaneers. That's why. Yeah, that's why I agree with you.
Well, we went through the Packers schedule, though.
I said Packers, and then I looked at the schedule. I was like, you're right. It's Buccaneers.
Here's the thing.
The Packers could easily win out and end up as the number one seed. And I do think if they get the number one overall seed, that Aaron Rodgers probably feels like the better bet.
And plus 600, it feels like a layup to.
Well, the thing is, if you had to put $500 on a four-game parlay of each of these teams to win their final four games, you're putting your money on the Buccaneers.
Oh, you're picking one team. I thought I had to pick like four teams to win other games.
Okay, no. Just if you have to bet on, right now on the Buccaneers to win their final four games or the Packers to win their final four games.
Who are the Packers' final four?
Packers play the Ravens, the Browns, the Vikings, and the Lions.
Yeah, of course.
Like, they're going to be favoring all of them. But.
And probably no Lamar for... Well, maybe no.
Maybe. Not a high ankle sprain, according to John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And the Browns game is on Christmas, one of those weird holiday games where crazy stuff happens.
I think voters will want to give it to Tom Brady at age 44.
Okay. I mean, you're talking yourself into it at minus 180. I'm talking myself into plus 600 Aaron Rodgers.
Plus 600.
Currently on the first place in the NFC Green Bay Packers.
Sure. Drop some money on that.
I don't hate it. I mean, it could happen. We should text Pete Prisco and ask him who.
That's me sprinkling.
I just
emailed. You could also put 2 units on Tom Brady and half a unit on Aaron Rodgers. These odds are usually terrible. And these odds right now on Caesars, if you look at them, are not. Minus 180 is not insane for where Tom Brady is in the race. And then you can hedge a little bit with Rodgers at 6-1. Like, normally it'd be like 3.5-1, which you wouldn't do.
Right? Well, you could do, just to make the math simple, bet 180 on Brady to win 100, and then bet 50 on Rodgers to win 300. And then if Brady wins, you win 50. And if Rodgers wins, you win 120. But you obviously make the numbers work closer.
Correct.
But they're separated enough that it could
and
work.
And you just have to dodge, like, Mahomes going.
Great, right.
Absolutely.
But again, looking at the Buccaneers schedule, it's hard to imagine Brady getting any worse. So it's just a matter of whether or not Rodgers wins out and catches them.
And neither one of these teams is going to stop playing hard because they're trying to get the one seed.
There goes Breach's week 18.
If the Packers lose their next two games, maybe the Bucs, sit people.
But and then the Chiefs schedule is much more brutal than both of them, with the Chargers, Steelers, Bengals and Broncos with
Brandon said that no one should ever text Pete Prisco. Believe me, you are correct, my friend.
I love that Breach thinks the Steelers are suddenly a good team all of a sudden because they're playing the Chiefs.
No, I don't think they're a good team. I'm just saying that they're a team that is 500 or better, and the Buccaneers don't have to play any of those teams.
I believe, by the way, this was the first game since September, perhaps, that the Rams beat a team with a winning record.
Yes.
Is that the man?
They only have like three of them. It's pretty bad.
So
the Colts, the Bucks, and the Cardinals tonight.
So that's a good win in that sense. And it was convincing win.
It's a huge win for them.
But right. The fact that they were, struggling against.
Well, I mean, did we even talk about the fact that the Rams probably can win the NFC West now? I mean, it's completely within reason. You're talking about.
There's a path. What's the path?
Well, the path is pretty easy, right? So the Cardinals, if they had won, the race was basically over. The Cardinals would have just had to win one of their final four games, and they would have won the division had they won Monday night, but they didn't. So now you're talking about the fact that they only have a one-game lead on the Rams, and then you look at both teams' final four games. We just kind of walked through them with Wilson where I asked him to pick the winners. They play the Lions. That feels like a layup. But then they have the Colts, the Cowboys, and the Seahawks. That's the Cardinals schedule. And then the Rams close with the Seahawks, the Vikings, the Ravens, and the 49ers.
Those feel like two pretty evenly matched schedules. I don't know what the strength of schedule.
Sorry, I'm on the playoff machine thing. I think next week it's Rams hosting Seahawks, Cardinals at Lions. That feels like a win for each, right?
Definitely better chance for the Cardinals.
What is the playoff? I mean, I'm sorry. What are the
schedule numbers?
Yeah, that's what I mean. We can go game by game, but I'm just curious as to
the Rams' remaining opponents are 500 exactly. The Cardinals' remaining opponents are 433, because they're playing the Lions, who are 110-1. Once you get that Lions game out of the way, their strength schedule will shoot up.
All right. We'll just walk through the
go ahead. So
Cardinals at Lions. Cardinals win, right?
Yeah. Lord willing. Good Lord.
Rams hosting Seahawks. Rams win.
Yeah, but that game's, I mean, that game is what?
Could certainly go sideways. I agree. But
No, I'm doing the wins over Wilson. Probably minus 6.5. Is that too low?
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, I think the Rams are expected to win. So all right. week 14 is probably a wash. Week 15, we have the week Cardinals 16. Hosting the, or excuse me, week 16. Yeah, thanks, Breach. Cardinals hosting the Colts.
That's a loss because they can't win home games.
You want the Colts or you want the Cardinals?
And the Rams playing the Vikings.
I just said that's a loss because they can't win home games.
Okay. Well, that would obviously, okay. So Rams win, Cardinals lose.
No. Wait a second. The Rams are playing the Vikings. I'm not convinced they're going to win that game.
All right. Well, let's give the Vikings. Let's give it the Vikings win. So still
I mean, we'll let Breach be the arbiter, the final vote.
That's fine. No, I think it's good to play it out in a scenario where the home teams are typically.
I feel like the Rams win that game just because I think Kirk Cousins is going to have nightmares about Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
All right.
He doesn't thrive under that kind of pressure.
All right, week 17, Cardinals so now we're at
tied.
Cowboys.
Now we're tied.
It's all square. Cardinals at Cowboys.
Ooh. If the Cardinals bring their bench to Jerry World, they'll win the game. I think they win that game.
You think they – oh.
I mean, a lot can change in 3 weeks. Every week you change your opinion about these teams because they play well or don't play well. But again, the Cowboys' offense stinks, and you're relying on the defense, which has been playing well. But why is the offense not working? That's my concern.
I would take the Cowboys here, personally.
Breach?
I think I'm siding with Wilson on this one.
What? Oh, my God. Yeah, what a swerve by Breachbot.
The Breachbot is taking Arizona Cardinals.
He flipped.
The Rams are at the Ravens.
Well, can the Rams score more than 20 points? Because if they can, they'll win. And that's Breach, what's the math on 3,000 miles, 4 p.m. games?
Where are we? What is that? Well, one quick thing on that game.
I think I like the Ravens here.
Is that the Lamar Jackson has never lost a start to an NFC team.
What a weird stat that Breach
knows. How's that weird? It's 12-0. That's not weird.
That you know it.
12-0?
Yeah, 12-0. It's not like he's 6-0 or something. It's
There's
a
actually
lot of games.
Some like good math with that where – there's a lack of preparation by teams that just don't see him because they ran the read option a bunch. Okay, so we get to week 17, and the Rams are 11-5. The Cardinals are 12-4.
Wait a second. Did you already move past? Week 17 is the Baltimore
week 18,
game.
Excuse me.
Okay, so you're giving the Ravens game to the Ravens. Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Cardinals are hosting the Seahawks, and the Rams are hosting the 49ers. Let's say both hold serve.
Okay.
It's Cardinals.
Oh, you're doing the. I see what you're doing. The actual.
Yeah. So I mean, it's this is a pretty. Back to the point of the odds that Debo put up about from Caesars at 5.5-1 for the Rams to win. I agree with Breach. I think that is a pretty good bet.
What's the call? What were the Cardinals?
-300 or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would bet Aaron Rodgers, and I would bet the Rams.
800 -800.
Yeah, I would bet.
I think 5.5-1 is a pretty good bet there for the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If one team gets hot and one team just plays average, that the other team is out. So hot means you have to go 4-1.
I mean, the Cardinals have some pretty epic slides the last few weeks.
3-1, excuse me. Yeah, but that's been partly because Kyler's not stayed healthy.
The one thing the Rams can't afford to do is lose to the Seahawks or 49ers. Because the Cardinals already have a 4-1 division record, and the Rams are 2-2, so if they lose another one, they automatically lose it, you know, because they split the head-to-head record, division record. And so if they go 3-1, but they lose to the 49ers or Seahawks,
well, they only have three games left, right?
Three games.
Four. They have four, and if they go 3-1, but one of those losses to the 49ers or Seahawks, they lose the tiebreaker to the Cardinals.
Right,
so now you finish a game ahead of them, and that changes everything.
They also can't afford to get lost on the way to the stadium on game day.
I mean, they could. Jalen Ramsey got lost and they still won.
He got lost.
So he flew back home to Los Angeles.
COVID.
Well, Brian, I know, but I'm saying that the Rams seem to prove they can win if people are not available.
Oh, but if the whole team, neither team bus shows up, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, now you're changing the, you're moving the goalposts.
But now they get both of those division games at home. So if you want to bet the Rams, you should bet them before this week because they're hosting the Seahawks, right? Because, I mean, if they beat the Seahawks and somehow the Cardinals next week, somehow the Cardinals lose, the Rams would be like plus. But
if both teams win, I think the Rams odds will get better as far as you betting them, because there's only three games left for them to catch them. Correct. And they might drop like +600 to +650.
Yes.
And then that would be where you maybe want to take them.
Intriguing.
Indeed. Intriguing.
All right. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
Who's winning the NFC West? Do we make our prediction?
I'll take the Rams. I'll back the Rams.
I'll roll with the Cardinals. I'll give them one more week.
If the Cardinals should be.
And listen, we didn't really talk about this, but the Rams did all this with like 23 players, because everyone, Higbee was out, Jalen Ramsey was out.
And they lost it like an hour before the game.
So credit to them for playing extremely well, given those situations.
And I will say the Cardinals.
Yes. No hat tonight. Sorry. Maybe we'll give one away on Thursday. Hang out with us after the game. Of course, we'll do a live pick show at 1 p.m. on Thursday. Hit the subscribe button. And if you hit the alert button, you'll know when Ryan Wilson goes live for a mock draft show to tell you how early an NC State tackle is going to the draft. Maybe number two? Two again?
Just like the dating game guy. Who used to do that? Chuck Woolery. Two and two. We're back in 2-2.
All right. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you guys later.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.